Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allah Ta'ala has created man in the best of moods. لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ التَّقْوِيمِ. And has created him to be the supreme creation. خَلَقَ اللَّهُ آدَمَ فِي سُورَتِهِ. The shape is the best, and mankind is the prime of the creation. He is the most beautiful, prime, complete, comprehensive. So he surpassed the malaika, and the malaika bowed down in taking cognizance of his position. Malaika are normally the best, but taking cognizance of the position of mankind, even the malaika bowed down. So he's been blessed with such beauty that the malaika don't have, jinnat don't have, and nor does any other creation have. So his appearance is the best, his nature is the best, his intelligence and understanding is the most perfect. And then Allah Ta'ala has given him the level of control that Allah Ta'ala has given him, no other creation has got. Control over the land, control over the sea, control over the air, control over everything. Control even over the creation. So the type of control Allah Ta'ala has blessed him, the beauty that Allah Ta'ala has granted him, the comprehensive nature that Allah Ta'ala has blessed him with, it requires a certain type of behavior. When the recompense, the remuneration is the best, then the delivery must be the best. If the recompense was small, did a small thing, enough, right? They are a creation, and all creation are supposed to be serving mankind, right? But then you find that the duties aren't much. A sheep or a goat, their duty is to eat and fatten themselves, prepare themselves for man, right? So outwardly it would seem that the duty is just enjoyment, eating, drinking, and procreating. But because the intelligence is limited, therefore the obligation duty is also limited. And man, his intelligence is most vast, greatest. Right? Hence, the duty also, the duty that comes with it is also the greatest. So when the duty is the greatest, now we need to understand what is the duty. So that when we appear before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we appear in the right shape, in the right place, in the right manner, Allah Ta'ala sees us. So now what is to be done that Allah Ta'ala sees us right? Some many years ago, some women were discussing, you know, women stories. So when they come from Hajj, they discuss their stories. Some of the stories are just by the way, it's just panchat, and some of the stories have got deep lessons and meaning. So two sisters had gone for Hajj around the same time with their husbands, and their brother had joined them, but he had joined them alone. So two sisters and a brother. We're talking of some story now, right? Now, in the old days when you're going for Hajj, we're talking of 1940s, 50s, so you're going for 3 months, 4 months, right? Right, going by ship, coming back by ship. So it's a long, arduous journey. But now there's two couples here and one brother. So the brother wants some attention. Now 4 months now, and only ibadat. So he wants some attention in his free time to talk to his sisters and all that. So the one sister is quite soft, and she carried on speaking to him. Until one day she came crying to the other sister, you know what, My husband is complaining. Make up your mind who you got married to. You got married to me, or you got married to your brother. He wants attention, obviously. And the brother is all alone there. He doesn't have his wife. So he wants some attention as well. Now, in this manner, this person is feeling that I'm getting left out. I need the attention from the wife, and she is giving her attention to her brother. And she is torn in between now. Where do I give my allegiance to? To my brother or to my husband? So she came crying to her brother, to her sister. Aisa aisa ho gaya, ab hum kya kare? So the sister gave sound advice. She said, you see, understand who you're going to live your life with. You will live your life with your husband, so you give all your allegiance and your time to him. Yes, spare time. You know, in this bones you get spare ribs. So the spare time you give it to your brother, but the prime time, prime attention, give it to your husband. Now I think it went very smooth, but the brother got upset. Yeah, you the main problem here. You caused the whole problem. Because he lost the attention, the whole attention was diverted. But the lesson was right, that you are living with him, you are living under his roof, you are sharing your life, it's your life companion. When it's your life companion, then you give your time to her, to him. Many marriages are on the rocks today because of the same reason. Many, many marriages, right? I'll come to the lesson afterwards. But there's many marriages that are on the rocks because of the same reason. Sometimes it is the parents that are the problem. They don't understand how this woman is married, but she must move on. Like parents, when they got married, when they were given their freedom, now your daughter got married, now give her her freedom, let her live her life. As long as they're living within parameters of Islam, they're not doing anything wrong, let them live. Now you're going to keep calling them as though now she's lost now, whether she must see to her parents or she must see to her husband. Husband is getting torn. That I need to respect this, and I need her to give me the attention. But if I'm going to be a little bit firm, then she's going to become a little bit turned away from me. Well, what do I do? Husband needs the attention. Now make up your mind who you got married to. Sometimes her allegiance is towards her work and occupation. It's called an occupation or profession, so her allegiance is there. Half her mind is with the husband, half the mind is with the work. So the husband is feeling, I got a raw deal. Although she's bringing a lot of money, some days back, professional woman, whatever, I don't tell you whatever profession she is, maybe someone will start thinking of who can be the possible woman, right? So I can't divulge that. So now, after some time, they had some good meeting, they wanted to have some meal, so they went to a top, booked a nice top restaurant. And as they about entering, though she receives a phone, there's an emergency, you need to attend to this. Now that emergency will earn her about 100,000 rand. Such an emergency, in about 4 hours that she will give, this is what she will get. So she says to the husband, sorry, you know, I have to attend to this. Alright, so it was booked out for after Asar or so. So right after Maghrib, maybe just after Isha, you know, we'll finish this thing up after Isha. It so happened after Isha, another client pulled in. Now they only got to see each other about 11:30 at night. Now the husband is complaining, what life is this? I'm getting seeing the money, but the money requires to bring, what is the money for? The money must bring some enjoyment, fulfillment, satisfaction. Money itself cannot give satisfaction. It cannot give fulfillment. The person is required to give about the type of satisfaction and fulfillment. I'm getting the money, but without the satisfaction. So most professional women have lost it. They felt that the money will bring about satisfaction, fulfillment to bring. Not realizing that the husband needs her. And the husband is thinking to himself, I'm sitting alone, I'm having a meal. Where's the satisfaction? Where's the enjoyment? But then, I don't blame the professional woman herself. I blame the husband as well. Because by choice, he took this professional woman, thinking, I'm in the bucks now. I'm in the money now. He has already planned that she is earning big money. I am earning also average, but she is earning more than me. You know? And both combined, what will get? Millionaires in no time. So it's both that are at fault. But anyway, coming back to the story here, the sister gives the sister advice, one gives the other one advice, that you have to see to your, you have to pull your entire life with this man. When you have to pull your life with this man here, then give him your time. Your whole life will be with this person, then give your attention, give your life, give your best to this person here. Others, it's spare time, not that you must be impolite or rude or aggressive towards them, that's the spare time. Prime time, main time, the time that the husband wants you, give him your time. Now, look at this analogy, look at this lesson, and now bring out a lesson for yourselves. I ask you, can you escape from Allah Ta'ala for a single moment? You can't escape him for a single moment, you can't escape him. Not at birth, not at death. Not in your illness, not in your happy times. Not in your prosperity, not in the adversity. Not when you are alone, not when you are in public. So there isn't a moment that you can escape Allah Ta'ala. Not in this life, not in the grave. You can't escape Allah Ta'ala. So when He is with you all the time, then you cannot break this relationship. You cannot sever this relationship. You can't interrupt this relationship. See, the husband got so affected when the relationship was interrupted. This man that is the husband of this professional, he felt so hurt when the relationship was interrupted. So now, when you say, Inna salati wa nusuki wa mahyaya wa mati, my sacrifice, my ibadat, my life and my death are all for Allah Ta'ala. When you have made this claim, then live up to the claim. Saying, Kul inna salati wa nusuki wa mahyaya wa mati lillahi rabbil alameen. That my sacrifice, my ibadat, right, my life and my death. In other words, everything that is, when you say my life, everything, every obligation that is connected to your living. And death, every obligation that is connected to your dying. So everything that is connected to living and every duty that is connected to your death, when you say that I have dedicated it to Allah Ta'ala, then live it. Abu Musa Ash'ari radiallahu anhu, he says that my heart's desire is this, that every Muslim should read this repeatedly throughout the day and night. قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِي وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَاتِي لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ وَبِذَلِكَ أُمِرْتُ وَأَنَا أَوَّلُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. And he's saying, I don't want any partnership in this. This time that I've dedicated for Allah Ta'ala, no partnership. It's purely for Allah Ta'ala. And this is the instruction, this is the command. And I'm the first one to accept this. I'm bowing down in obedience. What a comprehensive verse. Just to see that you're aligned, you know, to be on right, to be on the direction, to be on, to be aligned. What a great blessing it is. You know that you're aligned, right? So, is there a moment that you can say, you know, to now, let me just have some other time. Let this time be for someone else. No. So, if you're with Allah Ta'ala all the time, and you understand you can't escape Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then what is the right thing for you to do? The right thing for you to do is, as you're approaching Allah ta'ala, as you're coming nearer and nearer and nearer to Allah ta'ala, then see that you are longing to meet Him. Man kana yarju liqa Allah. When the time is approaching, فَإِنَّ أَجَلَ اللَّهِ لَآتْ مَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُو لِقَاءَ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّ أَجَلَ اللَّهِ لَآتْ. Understand, when you long to meet Allah Ta'ala, then Allah Ta'ala's time is approaching. In other words, the time for meeting is approaching. Then when Allah Ta'ala is telling you that the time for meeting is approaching, then what is the logical thing to do? The logical thing to do then is to make yourself in the state of readiness. That every day, every moment, you are longing and longing and longing to meet Allah Ta'ala. When is the time coming? When is the time coming? When is the time coming? You are longing to meet. You want to be there. You are longing to meet Him, and He is looking at your dedication. So the people on that side are longing to meet you. Whether it's the malaika, whether it's the righteous, they are also anticipating. Yeh kab aayega? Ab yeh kya aa raha hai? When is the man going to come? So whether it's the malaika, whether it's the people, whether it's the hoods, whoever it is, but they are longing to meet. You are longing to get in, and they are longing to meet. Nowadays, secret marriages has become customary. I think one of Jiva sits in the office, you know, so whilst I'm dictating the answers. So I asked him, just cursory, asked him, what do you think about the Christians that come in? He said, one of the most popular Christians that come in today is secret nikahs. So in the secret nikah, the parents are also to blame. In principle, the parents say, no, it's a good match, it's right. It means they are happy with the person that's proposing. But say, no, the marriage will only take place after he's completed his studies and he can stand on his feet. But can they stand this? This couple, can they stand it? So they're forcing them to do a secret nikah. Now I say the secret nikah, right, or at least to avoid zina and something that is not right, right? But it's going to come with complications. Say for example, you did the secret nikah. For some reason, your parents got turned away from that boy, right? They said, no, there's another proposal, you must go for that. Now you can't divulge that I'm already in a nikah. Number two, this is why I want the nikah in 2 weeks' time. If this woman has to divorce, then she has to serve her iddat. And after she served her iddat, then only can she marry this person here. So it's complicated all the way. One complication to the second complication to the third complication, but most of it is the problem of the parents. You can see how they're interested in each other, and they can't resist. When they can't resist, then put them into marriage. So no, he doesn't have the level of responsibility. But he has the level of responsibility to be dating, that you know about. To be mating, you know that they have the responsibility to do that. To go and have a meal together in my diners, they can do that. But only thing that they can't do is they can't get into marriage. That means, when you analyze this whole story, what it means, that the financial dimension is more important than Allah Ta'ala's dimension. Allah Ta'ala says, don't do it. And now the finance is more important. That how secure is the person financially? Can he handle this? And can Allah Ta'ala, will Allah Ta'ala tolerate this? Finance will not tolerate this, but will Allah Ta'ala tolerate this type of behavior? Did you look at it from this dimension? When Allah Ta'ala won't tolerate this type of behavior, then how can this marriage ever be a success? Think to yourself. It's just a dream. Every coming day, coming week, so there'll be one problem, second hurdle, no happiness, say some complaint, some misery, some grievance, some trouble, some problems coming up. And you can't divulge. You wanna see anybody, you're gonna feel ashamed and embarrassed. Now, hey, ye ghar ki baat hai, sabke samne kis tarah se zahir kiya jaye. It's something that's confined to the house. How can it see it to the world? So you can't bring it to the world's attention, nor can you live with it. But way starts off, that first brick in the edifice was wrong, so the whole thing is going wrong. Where we went wrong, we thought that finance is the answer, is the solution. We didn't realize that Allah Ta'ala is the solution. See, when we moved on from 1950-40, we moved on to Western education, secular education. When we went on, alright, don't worry, we went to earn some type of halal. But that education didn't mean that your whole belief, your culture, your ways, your thinking must change. Yes, you take it just to make money, right? But your culture, your thinking, your ways, your behavior, all must remain the same. You've got a community, you've got a culture, you've got a way. What you've inherited, take that on. Yes, this was just to make some money. Whether I became a doctor, whether I became whatever. But just to make some money, I did this. It doesn't mean that I got a cultural change, a ideological change. No, that mustn't change. That must remain the same. Islam must be more rooted. Must be more grounded. There mustn't be a cultural change. There mustn't be an ideological change. Now this education pushed you onto that page, onto that direction, that your ideology changes, your culture changes, your ways and mannerism changes, everything in you changes. So you sold out, you sold yourself out for this miserable wealth. You left out your culture, you left out your dini values to buy this thing here. Is that right? Is that a profitable bargain? You sold away your deen to buy this. You may say, no, I did some deen, but what have you done? Effectively, when you sold away your values, what have you done? Just for this culture, you have sold everything, all your values are gone. See? So, the relationship with Allah Ta'ala is such that you cannot interrupt this relationship for a single second. And today, things are moving at such a rapid speed, you don't know what can happen when. Last week, someone was giving me the news, you know. وَيَعْتِيكَ بِالْأَخْبَارِ مَلَّمْ تُزَوِّدِي. I tell them, my friends very often that you don't have to buy news. You don't have to look at WhatsApp. You don't have to buy news. Because people will tell you the news. You don't have to buy WhatsApp. You don't have to look into the television. You don't, nothing. But all that information will come to reach you. When it's required. When it's not required, you're still in a growing and development stage. You don't need that news. When you've got a level of maturity, Allah will bring the information to you. So why are you worried about the news now? What happened in Saudi Arabia? What happened in Turkey? What are the latest there? Don't worry about it. Don't pursue it. Don't run after it. After you run after it, tera kya faida? You will hear the panchayat here. This panchayat took place here in Turkey now. How does it benefit you? Does it benefit your deen? Does it benefit your dunya? In any way, does it benefit you? It doesn't benefit you. So why must you run after it? What you need to do first, do that first. You are in the midst of your examination, and someone starts feeding you with news. You know, that's what happened. Orlando Pirates. What happened here? But I'm in the midst of work here. I leave all these games around. Won't you say that? Will you say that or not? So you are in the midst of developing a relationship with Allah Ta'ala, and someone is coming out of Turkey and Hindustan and Pakistan, but you don't need these things. Now develop, build your relationship with Allah Ta'ala. Once everything is built, then this comes on the side. This doesn't affect you. But you didn't develop your relationship with Allah Ta'ala, and you're getting into this, you won't know what's the main line and what is the side cause. The main cause was biryani, right? And the side was some achar. Now if someone reversed the whole thing, made the achar the main thing, biryani, he just said one, two bites of it, what do you say? But you lost it. You would have hurt yourself. You would have heartburn just now. When you see that person, you lost it, you have half of heartburn, you won't have any stamina. You have to have a complete meal. To get stamina and to get strength, that's what you need. And you have all the good food, the right food that you're supposed to be eating, and all that's supposed to be the side, that's what you're eating. And in many homes, this is what's happening. You know, when people are sitting together for a long period of time, you get to know. One person is eating meals, and now every day he'll come and sit in front of me, whilst we can suffer. You know? I'm saying, loading his whole plate with tomato sauce. Boy, it's called khanegi cheese. Is it something to be eating? But then it's a problem with the parents. The parents are not guiding them. How they must eat, what they must eat, how much they mustn't eat. Then they have some complications. Hey, make tawis, do this. But the problem is, you are looking after the health. You need to have a balanced diet. Then that life of his also must be balanced. He must do so much of work, walk around, exercise, etc. Balance himself. He'll balance himself so his diet is right, his work is right, so his body is right. But he's sleeping all the time, not eating right, or he's eating too much and he's not working, or working too much and not eating right, then there will be an imbalance somewhere or the other. See where the imbalance is coming. So we're talking about this China story, you know. This news came in, right? So there's a person that is driving a bus, minibus or maxi bus, whatever bus, but he's driving a bus. In the meanwhile, as the story is going on, what I understand from the story, is one of the passengers just dozed off. And when he got up, he found that the bus had passed his stop. His stop is passed, it's gone. And perhaps he's gone into 10 kilometers. Now it's got up in a shock. Hey, seeing how, hey, I'm going to Spingo Beach, and we're already by Mia Bank, already by Clearwood. How much? 8-10 kilometers, isn't it? Now he's shocked up, he goes to the driver, please stop. Bus driver is not interested because it's not a scheduled stop. He tries him again for the second time. Now he's furious, the passenger is furious. In that fury of his, he goes and smashes his head. First time. He does that for the second time. Now the bus driver becomes furious. See, the driver becomes angry, he's angry, right? But you see now what happens. What I was getting at, in the time of fitna, in a second you don't know what can happen. Whole thing can capsize. Everything can capsize just within a second. If things are happening at a rapid pace, right, then you need to understand that you need to secure a deen even more. Because before to do a haram, you know, whether it was the woman or whatever, it would take a lot of time. Get some money, go to one place, do some haram there. How much of time it takes. Now, with the press of a button, that haram is being done. So, when it's so swift, that haram is so swift, then can you imagine now how much of precaution you need to exercise for your deen now? There must be some reason why. The reason said, now things are going to go out of control. When things are going to go out of control, then you rather stay in your house. Well, you saw kabitu. Because now to take care of his situation is going to be very difficult. Imagine this absolute chaos on the road. It's a freeway and you're supposed to be going in one direction. But people are moving in all directions with top speed, 150, 180. They're going at that speed, and when they're supposed to be going in one direction, they're going in all directions. Is it safe to be driving? So like there is a thing like defensive driving today, then there is a thing like defensive living today. Because you may be taking the precautions when going to a mall, but are the rest of the people there, are they taking the type of precaution that you require? Now when I talk like this, very hard, man. Very, very hard. Can't go mall, can't go hall. What can you do then? But here in Lower Kiri, it's for those people that want a lift up, you know. They want to lift the masjid up. You want to lift, then you have to give, you have to spend something. Allah inna silat Allahi al-jannah. What Allah is selling to you, what He's offering is selling Jannat. When He's selling Jannat to you, the Jannat is not a cheap commodity, it's an expensive thing. You know, you're not just thrown on the street now, and you can pick it up for any price. Allah, you think Allah is so cheap? A woman that you're proposing, and she's coming from some background, she'll tell you, you think I'm so cheap. Won't she tell you? No, you have to sacrifice for me. So an ordinary woman that can't do you too much, she'll give you some limited attention, but she wants so much of you in order for her to dedicate her life to you. Then Allah Ta'ala has given everything. Is there a thing that Allah didn't give? That intelligence, that understanding, that strength, that stamina, that direction, everything He gave. Then what don't you owe to Him? Now you want the Jannat. When you want the Jannat, then pay the price. Allah inna sillat Allahi al-Jannah, right? So, like this is saying now, but this is a time that you will not be able to control. It's all, people are going all in different directions. They're getting lost. So when they're getting lost, now you stick to your home. And if, by analogy, way of analogy, if you just analyze this hadith, then I will stick to one thought, one home, one person, you go right. But you listen to him, alright, but he says this, and he's saying this much, now what's the right? So then you don't need to have a sheikh, then you're the sheikh yourself. Because if you had a sheikh, then you would have just closed your eyes and take the direction from there. If you had a specialist doctor, you would have just taken the cue from him and moved on. But you're listening to one, and the second one, and the third one, and the fourth one. Now, as though you became the specialist yourself, so what you need? So just stick to one now. Now it's so confusing, so complicating, any person can get lost. You can just move off. See that? See the time that we're living in. Now see how comprehensive this is. See the direction that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gives is most perfect. The flaw is in your thinking. So now what about this? What about, leave all that, just go with him. وَلْيَبْكِ عَلَىٰ خَطِيَتِكَ. And if you don't want to follow and conform to the standard that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has advised, then you're going to definitely get off. So he's saying, now you rather cry about yourself. Look at your weaknesses and correct yourself. Now if you're not going to go by this, say, no, this person here, but he's doing this, man. Well, that person is doing this. And this person is like this, right? So you're going to be speaking about everything else but yourself. Is that not going to happen? So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is telling you, showing you a solution. Solution is by leave other people's lives, you're going to correct yourself. The moment you move away from his teaching, then you're going to be in a disarray. No direction. You will think to yourself, no, I'm right, I'm alert, I understand. But I ask you, when you are criticizing, condemning, and looking out at the weaknesses of others, are you going to be progressing in any way? So the right way is then you concern yourself about yourself. Get concerned, get consumed to yourself. One alim, when this Jamaat differences took place, you know, nice person, respectable person, dedicated person. So he kept discussing all his problems with me. So I told him, but if you know what's good for yourself, leave all the differences, just stick to one, close your eyes and move on. He came again after 6 months, and well, now I'm totally despondent, I said, did you get into this discussion? Yeah, well, what can I do? But that's WhatsApp, this message is coming, and that person is saying this. So I told him, that when we met the first time, I told you, just hold to one, close the eyes from everything else and move on. You don't act like a smart person that, no, I can handle situations and I can answer this person here. Don't act like, don't be like that. Don't get into a discussion. Don't get into a debate. Don't discuss anything with anybody. You got your work, just hold on to your work. So now, I lost everything. Before I should go to the Shabguzari, right? He's telling me. The Shabguzari should be dedicated, I bring Quran Sharif. And the people around me should be making Quran Sharif Tilawat. Before Fajr, he says, before Fajr, you'll find at least 3 rows of people all reading Quran Sharif, making dua, zikr. Now you hardly find 1 row of people doing it. So I told him, see, this is the problem. Nabi Sahib is saying, وَجَبْكِ عَلَىٰ خَطِيَةِ cry over your sins. Now you worried what this person is saying, or what that person is saying, or the third person is saying. So did you conform to the standard that Nabi Sahib has devised? He has devised a standard, but you cry about yourself. You don't get into other people's lives. The planner of the world is Allah Ta'ala. You are the planner. Why it happened, why it didn't happen, that's not your business. Yes, your business is under the circumstance. What am I supposed to be doing? That's what you're supposed to be doing. So you're not learning that, but you want to, hey, why are you doing this? Why are you saying this? Why this person is fighting? Why is passing this comment? You want to know all this. And you answer him after that. And then you get into a dialogue. He's saying this, and you're saying tit for tat. Right? Are you making any progress? Is he making any progress? You're trying to score points against him, and he's trying to score points against you. Any progress? Absolutely no progress. So the sensible thing is, by do your work, hold on to your work. Nabi Sam has told you very clearly, by cry over your sins. You look after your tongue. You cry over your sins. Leave the rest. Now, when you're going to hold on to this, the next person will see that you are doing this. Yesterday I'm sitting in the top masjid. So in the top masjid, Muhammad has a program before Zohar, before Isha Namaz. 2 minutes or 3 minutes. So I just came in and the program just started. So I'm listening carefully. So one person wants to greet and speak Salaam Alaikum. So I didn't greet him. Now, any person who has seen me, he can see that person is he's giving me his hands and I am not paying attention to him. So what he will say, so rude, so impolite. My allegiance is primarily with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You are just by the way. Now Nabi Sallam's words are being passed to me and I must show courtesy to you. You want me to get into a disarray, to get lost, to get mixed up? And to show scant regard for the hadith of Nabi Sallam that is being imparted now. Now is the part that hadith of Nabi Sallam that is being imparted. I need to keep my full dedication, my full focus towards that. Everything else is by the way. At that time I can't mix up issues. I can't mix up Nabi Sallam as though I'm saying Nabi Sallam is an equal to this person, na'uzubillah. Where is this person here and where is Nabi Sallam? So he needs to understand that this is now Nabi Sallam's time. This man is speaking on behalf of Nabi Sallam and I need to give my full attention to him. But I'm going to mix up things. I say, I've got a direction. So when we left the standard that was proposed by Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then we brought about this situation. People are complaining now, you don't find that type of attraction in Deeni work. Why? But you left out the standard. You left out what Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had guided you towards. You went and did your own thing. I must get into this, get involved in that one, discuss this one here, put that person in his place. Right? Get into that, then you have moved away. When you moved away now, na idhar ke rahe, na udhar ke rahe. You're not on this side, you're not on that side. But hold on to one and hold firmly. Simple. He's giving a golden advice. He's giving a golden advice, just hold on to it. Leave your brains, leave your intelligence, just hold on to the standard, bring something for yourself, bring something for people. You have worked till now. Now, at this stage now, when you have worked 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, 25 years of your life, now why must you lose it? You did it for Allah Ta'ala, you did it for the pleasure of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, now hold on firmly. So he's explaining to you that you just cry over your sins and control your tongue. You don't go out of control in your tongue. Three, tongue is also the computer and social networks, right? It's all tongue. So you don't get into this, you do your work, and you cry over your sins. So now the next person will see, in the masjid, you're crying over your sins. I got this wrong. I'm involved in this problem. I'm in that problem. What happens? Aren't you setting the right trend? That person also cry. The person will also cry. Now, what a beautiful environment will it be to be in a place now, people are crying, begging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. See? So if there is a wrong, people that are gone off, there's a chance for them to come right. Isn't there the chance for them to come right? But if you get into a discussion and debate, then everybody wants to show that I got more points. You got points and I got better points. Doesn't that happen in a discussion? I won't impress upon you, you won't impress upon me. So where's the right? Nobody knows the right. Why? Because the whole intention has changed. I want to score points against you and you want to score points against me. But if all of us keep and conform to the standard of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, right, now it's a state of confusion. You will do your own thing. Worry about yourself. Leave the side talk. Now you'll feel a crying. You'll find that the doors of acceptance are opening. See? The doors that were getting sealed up and jammed up, now you open those doors again. If someone brings the discussion, say, you say, لا نبتغي الجاهلين. لا نبتغي الجاهلين. لكم لنا أعمالنا ولكم أعمالكم. لا نبتغي الجاهلين. You go your way, I will go my way. I don't want this ignorance. This type of ignorance, this discussions of ignorance, I don't want it. What's the discussion about now? We have so much of a crowd and you have this type of a crowd. We have this type of a response, you have this type of response. Yeah, this person did this wrong. And are you losing it? Are you doing the work? Or you are behind personalities? Are you behind Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam or behind personalities? What are you after? Try and make up your mind. What are you after? After personalities or after Allah Ta'ala and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Allah didn't like this. His Nabi Sallam didn't like it. La tanazaw. The Quran is saying this morale came to me. He said, I just lost it. No, complete, I lost it. I don't have the morale. I don't have the interest in going to the masjid, but absolutely my heart is just broken down. So to him, I told you 1 year ago, don't get into this. Who asked you to get into it? You went into this, you left out the conformity with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, so you got no support. When you got no support, you're running this side, that side, no direction you've got. So if you know what's good, again I'm telling you, leave out this thing here, leave out the discussion, just do your work. Now with the grace of Allah Ta'ala, after 6 months, now I'm moved. Now I moved away, alhamdulillah. I've got it. I said, God, you hold your ears, make tawbah that you won't do this again. See? Everybody's got a mind of his own. When he's got a mind of his own, he's left Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he's left Allah Ta'ala, and he feels that my reasoning is right. And then he will come and discuss with an alim or so, say, now, I thought like this, and I did like this. But leave all that. Talk about the work. In this masjid now, or in the Shab Guzari now, is there any progress? You see the amal coming up. You see zikr. Do you see Quran Sharif? Do you see people waiting for the programs? Do you see all that happening? So this is what you need to look at. Look at. If everything is falling apart, that means no. You just lost something. Now it's easy to say, no, he is the problem. Shift the problem to this person here, and he shifts to that person, and that person to the fourth person. So if you're going to shift the problem to one person and the other, are you going to get any direction? No direction. By start of the work. For Allah Pak's sake, in the masjid I'm telling you, start of the work, people will come on again. Leave out the next person, shifting the blame, criticizing that person and condemning this person and fighting with that person, getting into a debate with this person, leave all this thing here. That's not what Allah Pak said. Allah Pak said, La tanasa, don't you get into a fight, don't get into a discussion, don't get into an argument. That's what Allah Pak said. And he said clearly, you're going to get into an argument, in different ways. You can argue also on the phone. You can argue in different ways. You can argue, right? But if you're going to get into an argument, then the spirit that you've got is going to be lost. It's a word of Allah that can't go wrong. You will definitely go off. So you don't get into it unless you get into it. From this Ching Chong Chinaman, where we went to, took me 20 minutes just to finish this Ching Chong stuff. So we're talking about this Chinese tiger, right? Last week or 2 weeks ago, the news came up. So now, this passenger, he saw that the driver has passed, he stopped. So he is getting infuriated. What is this guy doing now? What is this person doing? 10 kilometers away from my stop. So it hit him. Second time, third time. That person, he got angry. He did something like this. Whatever he did. Now they're looking, you know, the bus may have something like a black box. All the information is all preserved there. So when he did this, he perhaps lost control and the whole bus capsized. All the passengers, the driver, everybody died. Nobody is there to report the case, but they're seeing what was the discussion like and what were the movements like. And they became aware, what happened here? But now you see that one moment of ghaflat, you see this time I'm showing you in the zamana, this time that we're going is a very delicate time. And 1 second can just push you off. One moment, right moment you coincided can bring you on. And one moment can just throw you off. One moment can throw you off and one moment can throw you on. So if you know what's right for yourself, conform to the hadith. Cry over your sin. Leave these other people. Whoever is doing whatever, they're going to go their line. Ye dekho, kya tum apne kaam ko kar rahe ho. Your mashayikh have given you some talim. Look after your tongue. Look after your time. Don't discuss others. Leave them. You don't discuss others. Whatever they do, you don't discuss them. You do your work. Are you doing your mashayikh, whatever work they have proposed, whatever they have guided you, are you doing? But you see that one moment of ghaflat, it's total annihilation, destruction, ruin. For the driver, for the passengers, for everybody that was concerned, for the bus. In fact, I would say one step more, and if people are going to look at the whole thing in the CCTV, it will be an embarrassment for the passenger that was fighting and for the driver that was driving the bus. They would say, the driver was just patient, he could have just stopped the bus, let this person jump off and carry on, right? That's what they would have said. And others would have said, the passenger here could have been just a little bit more patient, you know, he would have brought this problem for all those passengers, right? So this is how they're going to comment about the whole thing. But you see what I'm getting at is, one moment of ghaflat, and what a disaster, one moment. Just one single moment, and it's a disaster. No more, I didn't mean it. I just said that word talaq. I just said it, you know. That one moment can be disastrous. This one moment. So how important it is just to remain with your elders, by conform to their thought, to their reasoning. Don't ever think now, I'm smarter, I got a better point, I got a better understanding. It may be possible that in one issue you are right, but in 100 issues you may be wrong. So it's safer for you to be just with them. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had come to Medina Munawwara, and they were practicing crop pollination, right? So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had seen this, and perhaps he may have felt that this is something to do with superstition, right? That just crossing the trees and you're getting a bumper crop, right, of khajur, of dates. Right? So he perhaps may have thought at the beginning that this is something to do with superstition, and he stopped them. When he stopped them, Sahaba Kiram, their style was Amanna wa Saddaqna. We believe, we'll accept, we'll bow down. But they will report as well what is happening. Now we did this, now this is what happened. But they come at the end of the next year and this year we had a very poor crop. So Rabbi Sallam realized that this was nothing to do with superstition. It's a procedure. In plants, etc., it's a procedure. It's not to do with superstition. So no. You may carry on. When I speak to you about your dini matters, then listen to me 100%. But dunya matters, how to run dunya, whether you must run a barber shop or you must run a grocery shop, that's your business, whatever you want to run. But in dini matters, you listen to me. You want to run a barber shop, you want to run a grocery shop, you carry on doing whatever you need to do, right? But dini matters, you will take the instructions from me. Dunya, you know how to run that thing. So long as you're conforming to the sharia, right? But now, listen, just understand this whole story. Just for example, if they didn't listen to Nabi Sassan, right, materially speaking, they would have earned much, millions they would have earned, right? But I ask you, would they have got the du'as of Nabi Sassan? Would they have got his... So what have you earned? We got the millions, but Nabi Sassan was not happy. For that moment, he wasn't happy. He always... Unka dil aapke saath nahi hai. I ask you, is that a failure? And is that not a worst of failure? Or a material lost 1-2 million, but my Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's heart is with me. And how much nice he'll feel of me, how great he'll feel of me, that this man could go to the material favor just for me, for my sake. What luck this person has got. Won't this then, tasbith and imani, won't this be something that will go to the rooting of his iman? His iman will go even more stronger. And from my Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and I've done this, alright, I went through a material loss, it's alright, but my Nabi Sallallahu is happy with me. So, if they have suffered a material loss, but they haven't earned the displeasure of Nabi Sallallahu, they've got everything. Nothing to cry about, nothing to moan about. We have got the fulfillment, the solution to life, we've got it. The answer of life, we got. Our Nabi Sallallahu is happy with us. Allah Pak is happy with us. So we have, there's no loss. Absolutely no loss. So we are talking about mankind. The beginning, we started with mankind. And explained that Allah Pak kept mankind as the prime creation. Best of creation. So, when you are the best creation, then Allah Ta'ala has passed on to you the greatest lesson. You are the best creation. So, when you are the best creation, then the lesson that will be passed on to you will be the supreme lesson. There can't be a lesson above the lesson that you will perpetrate, you will follow, and you will practice. So now, what's the best lesson? So you understand your position, your prime creation. So your lesson will also be prime. You're the prime creation, so your life also will be prime. You're the prime creation, so your beauty also will be the prime. Everything will be in prime. So now Allah Ta'ala has shown this from the very beginning of creation. He's shown, alright, what is the prime lesson? The prime lesson now, look at yourself, examine a human being. From birth to death, there's absolute dependence. For birth, you need people to come and deliver, right? At death, you need people again to deliver you into the grave. At birth, you need people to deliver, right? And at death, you need people to deliver. I ask you, in the entire equation of life, can you say, I don't need people? You need someone. Grocery, you need someone. Hardware, you need someone. Clothing, you need someone. Your medical, you need someone. Talk about it and you are dependent. And the dependency is from the level of a Nabi to a faqih. Everybody is dependent. Nabi Sam is eating a morsel of food. He says, غَيْرَ مُسْتَغْنًا وَلَا مُوَدَّعًا عَنْهُ رَبَّنَا. Allah, we cannot say that we are independent of this favor of yours. It's a creation, food for us, it's a favor, right? But as great as he is, he's impressing upon us that how much we are dependent on the mercy and the blessing of Allah. We can't say for a moment, I don't need it. If we didn't have, say you had lunch now, right? Lunch. Now, say you would have your supper, say at Isha time. Nothing is prepared. Can you live? Can you go to sleep? So how dependent? For that moment you felt satisfied. Alright, hey, now I don't need anything now. But come Isha time and you want something. The Mr. Khan or the Dastar Khan, right? And if there's some disappointment there, how will you feel? Can you pass the night? Can't pass the night. I need something. You know, I don't just work like this. I need some type of cooperation in those things. I came here hungry and I don't see any cooperation. What happens to you? Don't you feel upset? Don't you feel at that moment that I ruled this woman's life and she must do something here? Don't you feel like that? All types of thoughts will run your mind, right? And perhaps the whole night you may not talk to her. A couple of good days you will not talk to her. I must teach her this lesson. When that happened, just for one meal. For one meal also, you can become so miserable. How much do you depend on the favors of Allah? فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبُونَ. Understand? So, in this whole equation of life, Allah Pak is teaching you the lesson of dependence. Why? Don't ever think that you are independent. إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَيَطْغَىٰ أَرْرَآهُ اسْتَغْنَىٰ. Man went wrong. Where he went wrong? When he considered himself to be independent. No, I. When he thought I, from that was the point of his failure. So now look at it. This is the beginning of creation and you are a conglomeration of needs. Whole embodiment of needs. From the head to the toe, you are just needs upon needs. Small toothpick, you need to go to a dentist. Eye problem, you need to go to an optician. Kurta, you need to go to Salim Taylor. Everything, you're dependent. Can you say you're independent? Can you say? So there's total dependency that Allah has created you. So Allah Ta'ala wants you to live. Antumul fuqara'u ila Allah. You are totally dependent. Wallahu huwa al-ghaniyul hamid. Allah Ta'ala is totally independent. So understand that you are conglomeration, an embodiment of needs. Understand that. Now, this is the creation. When you look at creation, this is now, when you read the creation, this is the conclusion that you come up with. Then again, look at the beginning of creation, and Adam alayhi salam, and Iblis, right? Again, the same lesson is being portrayed again. When Iblis is making that mistake, then he does as though Allah Ta'ala is nothing. He removes Allah Ta'ala from the equation. Totally. So he says to Allah Ta'ala, when Allah Ta'ala questions him, why did you refuse to bow down? So ana khair, I am better. So he didn't look at the equation, he didn't look at it from this perspective, that this is the command of Allah Ta'ala. He didn't look at it. If he had he only looked at it from this perspective, that this is the command of Allah Ta'ala, then he wouldn't have thought so much of himself. When he lost sight of it being the command of Allah Ta'ala, then he felt that he is even above, he transcends the command of Allah Ta'ala. See? Do you see that? When he looked at the whole equation from this perspective, that I am superior, right? I am made of superior stuff, right? So therefore I am greater. So he didn't look at the whole equation from this perspective, that this is the command of Allah Ta'ala. When it's the command of Allah Ta'ala, that transcends everything else. It goes above everything else, prevails over everything else. He didn't look at it from it. So you see where it went off. And then when he went off, he didn't just go off like that. Then the food that was in him, that was concealed within him, that all that hell broke loose out of him. Everything, that food that was. Now Allah Ta'ala, you know, because of him, you threw me, bima aghwaytani. Because of him, you have thrown me out of the path. I will fix the last one of them. لَأَخْوَدَنَّ عَلِيمْ صِرَاطَكَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ آتِيَنَّهُمْ مِنْ بِيْرَ. Every possible way to throw them off the path, I will do it. See that? See how he misbehaves. His reasoning went off when he thought himself to be superior, when he felt that he is independent, when he felt that the command of Allah, there is nothing, my intelligence, my reasoning is supreme. See, where mankind is going today is they feel that their intelligence, their reasoning is supreme. And what we are being told by, listen to the Rabbi Sam, you don't understand, don't worry about your understanding, just conform. Rabbi Sam is saying, just keep quiet. Cry over your sins. No, I must discuss. Make up his mind. I'll make his zihan. Rabbi Sam is saying, keep quiet, do your work, cry. No, I must discuss. I must do this. Alright, jao, tum kitne taraqi karte, go, let's see how much you can progress. Not going to listen to me, you're not going to progress. Your progress is just conforming. Just listen to me. Keep quiet. Move on with the cheer. Not with an objectional mind. Cheer with happiness. My Rabbi Sam said this, I must go with it. Now imagine if Rabbi Sam only hears my ummati, and he didn't understand it fully, but he's happy with me. Because I am the ummati. Because I am the Nabi, and he is the ummati. He says, I must just follow. Whether I understand it or I don't understand it, I must just listen to him. Won't you bring happiness? And if Rabbi Sam has to hear, but this person thinks that he can employ his reasoning against my command, right? I am saying keep quiet, cry, right? I am saying this much. And he said, no, I must go and discuss and do this thing and compare him against you, find out that person's fault. So will Nabi Sam's heart be ever happy? Think, reason, try and understand. Now, so Shaitan's, his response, right? His response. So the every vestige of shame went out of him. Imagine he's speaking to Allah Ta'ala like this. لَأَقُدَنَّ عَلِيمْ صِرَاطَكَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ آتِيَنَّهُمْ. Every vestige of shame is out of him. It's gone. Became a total wreck. Absolute indecent. And then added to all that, what he says, فَبِمَا أَغْوَيْتَنِ. He blames Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala, you threw me out. Whose error it was? It was his error. And what he says, فَبِمَا أَغْوَيْتَنِي. You threw me out of the road. So therefore, I'll take revenge. I'll take revenge, why? Because you threw me out of the road. See that? So that every vestige of shame is out of him. There's no shame, absolutely no shame. But when Adam alayhi salam, when he makes that error, right? And Allah questions him. So straight away he gets into humility. Rabbana Zalam is crying. If the tears of Adam alayhi salam were to be weighed against the tear of the entire ummah, entire nation, entire human being, right? This will be greater than the tears of everybody. So Allah Pak likes it so much. And Allah Pak says again, that Adam, this was your maqam. But you teared, you were sincere, you had humbled yourself. ثُمَّ اجْتَبَاهُ رَبُّ Then we escalated even further. ثُمَّ اجْتَبَاهُ رَبُّ Then we gave you acceptance. You were at a certain level, then you cried, you made tawbah, you were very remorseful. We like this so much of you, so much we like. Now imagine if there wasn't the mistake, would there be an occasion to cry, to humble yourself, to get... And his intentions were right. His intentions were to come closer to Allah Ta'ala. But in the process, he made a mistake. So he doesn't come to his defense. Straight away he says, Rabbana Zalamna, he's crying profusely. Allah likes it so much. ثُمَّ اجْتَبَاهُ رَبُّ فَتَابَ عَلَيْهِ وَهَدَى We took him to a different level of hidayat. He was on, but then we took him, we promoted him even more. So there was the need, there was an reason, there was a need for, there was a need for an excuse to promote him, right? Right? This is the system of Allah Ta'ala, that there is a need, and or there is a reason for promotion, and the person is promoted. Doesn't happen in anything. There is a reason to promote this person here from amongst all, we promote him. Because of this reason, therefore we promoted him. So this is the system of Allah Ta'ala, there is a need for him to be promoted. So this was brought about, and then he got the promotion. ثُمَّ اجْتَبَاهُ رَبُّ So do you see now what is the lesson that is being imparted? The beginning of creation, by humble yourself. I'm made of sand, and my duty is just to confess, to acknowledge, and humble myself. Confess, acknowledge, and humble myself. Be remorseful, be regretful. But what a beautiful way to leave the world. With remorse, regret. Rather being proud, and being defiant, and being on denial. Nabi Sallam's last words again, were the words of forgiveness. Rabbi ghfirli, Allahumma ghfirli. Last words, as he's departing the world, and this is the words that are flowing out of his tongue. Allahumma ghfirli. وَرْحَمْنِي Allah, forgive me. Be merciful towards me. Do you see that? So if this dua of maghfirat was a simple thing, was an insignificant thing, then the greatest of Allah Ta'ala's servants, these are the last words that are leaving his mouth. Allah maghfirli وَرْحَمْنِي Do forgive me. تُوبَى لِمَنْ كَانَ فِي صَحِيفَتِهِ إِسْتِغْفَارًا كَثِيرًا Congratulations to that person. That in his books of deeds, it's not of istighfar, he's humble, he's asking Allah's forgiveness. The best dua that a man can ask is forgiveness and ease. What? Afiyat and ease. Afiyat and forgiveness. Afiyat and forgiveness. Ease and forgiveness. We are men, human beings, we can slip up here, there, our eyes sometimes is wrong, sometimes our tongues are wrong, sometimes our ears are wrong, and most of the time today is the wrong association. We're going off, where are we going off? The wrong association. Whether in a walima, whether wherever, but wrong association. Those associations are influencing our minds. When they're influencing our minds, then that becomes our behavior. See where the wrong is coming up, coming from this association. So Allahumma ghfirli warhamni walhiqni bi rafiqil a'la. So this is now the prime lesson. The prime lesson, humility. Nabi Sam is entering into Makkah Mukarramah, right? That's a prime occasion. The prime of his life, as though the culmination of his mission was what? Coming into Makkah Mukarramah and gaining total control. Because true faraz from the faraiz of Islam is completed at the Kaaba Sharif, namaz and hajj. Namaz and hajj, two of the five faraiz are completed at the Kaaba Sharif. So this was now like the culmination of his entire effort, that he's coming valiantly, victoriously to Makkah Mukarramah. But when he's coming to Makkah Mukarramah, Sarjukai is lowering his head, crying profusely, beard is dripping with tears. But you see what lesson he's teaching us by not defiance, not denial. Humble, be humble. Allah likes this. Allah loves this, that you are not in denial. You're accepting, you're acknowledging. It's become such today that to be able to justify, that's become like a profession. I can justify this, I can justify this. If that was the primary objective of mankind, if that was the achievement of mankind, Otherwise some would have also did that. Otherwise some could have come to his defense and say, Ya Allah Ta'ala, you know what? I didn't mean wrong. I didn't intend wrong. I intended good. It's a mistake now. We are human beings. You know that we are human beings. He could have used this in his defense. Couldn't he use that in his defense? And wouldn't he have been right? But he doesn't go on that route. What he says? Rabbana Salamna. Allah, we have wronged. Please do forgive us. You don't forgive us, we are lost. We are total losers. We are failures if you don't forgive us. He totally goes on to his knees, absolutely in his knees, asks for forgiveness with a remorseful heart. And then Allah says, then we promoted Adam Islam. Summa ishtaba'u Rabbu, accepted him. But that he had to come after the tawbah, the level of remorse. Allah loves that level of remorse, the level of pain, the remorse, the regret, you know. And how, see my servant, how faithful he is. And when he went off, and I warned him a little bit, but see, what happened to him, he's broken down. He's totally broken down, he's shattered. Let me give him an embrace. So that embrace comes when you break yourself completely. But you broke yourself a little bit, Allah, okay, no, I break myself, a little bit, no, I can't break myself entirely, after all I'm a human being. Then that acceptance also doesn't come in with that speed. But you break yourself completely, I am nothing. Allah, you make it happen. Give me the guidance, give me the righteousness. Put me onto diet again. So therefore, I've just tried to outline this point, that humility is the prime objective. Submission, humility is the primary objective. Now to bring this primary objective into our lives, Allah Ta'ala has instituted the law of dua. Ud'u rabbakum tadarru'an wa khufya. When you ask Allah Ta'ala, then with humility, with desperation. Dua is not just a repetition of words. That is a grace of Allah Ta'ala. That we just make dua, Rabbana Salaam, Rabbana Salaam, we're just doing that and carrying on, right? It's a blessing of Allah Ta'ala that Allah Ta'ala listens to this as well. But that's not the essence of dua. Essence of dua is tadarru'an wa khufya. Total humility. Total desperation. And in soft words, tadarru'an wa khufya. Soft, discreet. So this is the essence of dua. Tadarru'an wa khufya. Tadarru'an wa khufya.